It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
Roasting people on stage has a long history in show business, both on stage and on television. Now, the roast comes to Las Vegas on a bi-monthly basis. My guests are Mike Krasner, host of WrestleMania 6, which is May 24th at Wise Guys Arts District, along with his co-producer, Sean Reddy. And we're going to explain what that is all about. Anyway, Mike and Sean, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Okay, I told you before we started, I was having trouble pronouncing it. So you're going to explain to us the concept and the pronunciation of WrestleMania, which I think I got down this time. But it's a roast battle, and it takes place, as I mentioned, bi-monthly at Wise Guys Comedy in Las Vegas in the Arts District. How did this come about originally? And then we'll talk about what it entails. And then we'll talk a little bit about each of you guys and your careers, too, which is just starting on this show. So, Sean, you want to start, or Mike, you want to start? Either one.
Oh, go ahead, Kras. This is your baby, man. Go ahead. I just jumped on when I saw that there was opportunities for me to ride as well. So.
Hotel riding, son of a bee. So basically the backstory of it is about circa 2016, 2017, at one of the comedy clubs out here, another person used to put on roast battles, and they were just called roast, like roast battle night or whatever. It didn't have like a specific name. And then that kind of stopped a little bit. And then another dude took it over and he came up with the name WrestleMania. And I'm really good friends with him. I've done a couple of the shows. Then he moved away. We had a roast battle here, but it was, as Sean would say, trash. See? And so there was just nothing. There was a void to fill. So I kind of talked to the other dude, got the blessing to reboot and reuse WrestleMania, and we've turned it into something like our version of it instead of theirs. Like, they didn't really tap into like wrestling elements or nerdy stuff or storylines or chaos and but as a lifelong wrestling fan, this show allows me to do all the stuff that I couldn't do because I was never an athlete. I was never a wrestler. I was never a producer like that. So it's just fun for everybody to get involved. It gives people opportunities. It's something new. It's something fresh. And yeah, they go hard. They put on a good show. And I'm happy in the trajectory that it's going on so far.
Sean, since Mike didn't answer my question, how about you explaining the concept of what is WrestleMania? Thanks so much.
I love it. Oh, man. Well, first off, we are both big wrestling fans. And obviously, as comedians and understanding entertainment, like growing up as our childhood was watching wrestling. So Krasner and I, that's actually how we bonded. That's how we became friends. And so when I found out that he had this idea that he was basically getting permission to use from a previous comedian that was here in town, the whole element, the whole show is literally, it's like wrestling, but with just, instead of physical contact, it's just harsh words, roast battle itself. So if you ever watch wrestling, if you, like everyone at one point or another has flipped through the channel and like caught a wrestling moment. So you know that you're going to have big intros where, you know, the entertainer, the wrestler is going to come down the ramp with pyro or whatever the case may be, and it's going to be loud. And that's literally what we do on our show as well, too. We have a production team that will play a song and the comedian will go up on stage and do a whole act out. And like for example, in WWE, there's a wrestler named Triple H, and he was known to go onto the ring during his intro and he would like drink a bottle of water and then spit it out in the air. We have a comedian that also uses his intro because he's a fan of his, but obviously because of being within a close range of the audience. We can't spit water. It'll be like a lawsuit and everything. So what he does, he takes a hit of a vape pen and he like blows smoke in the air. And so like those type of elements is what makes the show so much different than any other roast battle where they would just go and have each comedian go one by one and roast. But Krasner, he took it even a step further because not only us are ourselves are wrestling fans, but the comedians that are on the show, they too are also wrestling fans. So they will like cut promos. Like if you ever watch wrestling, they're always calling each other out and they're making these videos of them basically creating a whole dramatic scene and building up the battle. And the comedians that Krasner puts on these shows, they literally go on social media and they call each other out and they build their own storylines. And then people actually follow it. So when they come to the shows, they're looking at the conclusion of this buildup. Like it's an amazing, amazing show. It's literally nothing, like nothing in Vegas is like it at all. And Krasner took this show to a whole new levels and heights that we never thought that we will see within a short period of time, because the next show that's coming up is actually our 1 year anniversary. So
yeah, I see how easy that was, Mike. Sean just explained the whole thing. He's got me excited. I want to come.
He said like three different things that I said. Everything else was virtually the same, but I see where your allegiance is. Okay.
Yeah. And also I noticed that he, you know, he's your close friend, but he calls you Krasner instead of Mike. I caught that too.
My mom calls me Krasner.
Oh, wow. Well, there must be a reason.
I don't have a name.
Oh, okay. The other thing was,
you said the invasion, so they
the first time that you saw it, and you obviously embellished it. And it sounds like a lot of fun. I've not been to one, but the way that Sean described it, now I'll probably have to come see it because, you know, he paints words with pictures, or he paints pictures with words, or he does one of the, or both.
But, both.
Yeah, but both. So how did the two of you collaborate on this on a regular basis? Who does what?
I mean, so literally our friendship started not only through stand-up comics at the LA Comedy Club, because that's where we're frequently performing at the time, but we started talking about wrestling, and then that's how we start quizzing each other on old wrestlers and talking about certain like scenes and stuff that we remember. Like I'm a big Mick Foley fan, so Hell in the Cell of him getting thrown off by the Undertaker, like we'll reminisce about those type of things. And Krasner is literally our Vince McMahon. Like he's our CEO of our company. And as a joke, like the ongoing joke within the organization is that he's our Vince McMahon, but without the allegations.
at least to this point.
At this moment, right? Yes, early on, right? We're clean. We're good right now.
Yeah, for now he's clean, but you never know.
wait till we blow up.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
But so he's the one that told me about like how they used to have this Rose Battle, and we got to see, and Krasner, he's actually highly involved within the comedy community on the roast side. Like you have your traditional stand-up, you have your traditional stand-up comedians that you go to a show and you just have your three comedians, the host, the feature, and the headliner. And then there's a whole another element to the craft, which is it's roasting. Like you go up there and you're doing these clever roast jokes. You're not trying to be like heinous and harsh. You're really trying to be really creative by using what words would consider to be harsh. But it becomes fun and it becomes like a whole different style of comedy that people don't really get to see on the daily basis. And so when Krasner told me about this, and I love roasting, like I'm literally one of the judges. He put me on as one of the judge, and in wrestling terms, I'm considered a heel judge, right? So you have your baby face and you have your heels. Your baby face are the good guys, and the heels are obviously the bad guys. So out of all the judges, I'm one of the heel judges. So they call me Sean the Trash Man Reddy. And the reason being is because we used to do a podcast together. We help out younger comics come up within the comedy and scene, and they always ask for advice, and they'll show us clips of what they're doing. And sometimes I'll be honest with them. I'll tell them, like, man, that's so trash, man. Like, get rid of that. Like, stop doing it. And, like, people took a liking, or people also got offended that I called them trash. And so at the roast battle at Roastomania, like, I'm Sean the Trash Man Ready, and I let comics know who fail or who don't deliver on stage that they're trash. And I have a mini trash can that I raise up. And I and in the beginning, I prep the crowd. I tell them, I go, you guys are just as involved in this show as we are, right? And if we don't do our job, then you have to let us know. And if I raise this trash can as one, we're all going to yell trash at the comedian that failed. And so it was a success. It came to a point where the crowd was just yelling trash themselves. They finally caught on.
Just for backstory measure on the trash, when we were doing that podcast that he alluded to, we used to have some comedians on, and we would watch their sets and then break it down in front of them and record it. And Sean literally looked to the dude who we were just got done watching a set and called him trash on the podcast. And that was like the origin of it. And it affected that comic so much, he went out and changes his Instagram handle to blank the trash comic. So like, this guy's out here like ruining egos and like crushing people's dreams, but for some reason you're on his side like he's some sort of a hero.
Well, you know what it is it's I look at it this way. This is honest. The reason why I am straightforward and I speak what I speak, whatever I'm thinking, I don't think at all. Like my wife tells me that all the time. I don't think when I speak. And a lot of it is just because like it really comes down to the fact, like with comedy, it's like it's a craft, it's an art. So like you have to put your time into it. You can't go up there and just half-ass it. Like that, to me, you're wasting people's time who are paying. Like one of the things I brag about the most, when we started doing the show at Wise Guys in the art district, we would go out, and we still do like till this day, we still do this. We would go out like 3 hours before the show. We'll walk up and down the art district, and we'll pass out flyers. We'll tell people, "Hey, we're performing just right down the block." We'll point at the venue. We'll let them know. We build a connection with people on the street. And the reason why, to me, that's so like it's amazing, because they spend the whole week working their 9 to 5, and they're planning out their weekend. And they talk to their friends, their family, whatever the case. "Hey, we're going to spend our money at this bar, at this restaurant. We're going to spend money parking. We know that we're going to have to spend money this weekend to enjoy and decompress." They already have it planned that they already have set. And then when we run into them on the street and we just talk with them and we crack jokes and they like it, they change their whole plan that they've been planning for like 5 days. And within 3-5 minutes, boom, they're at our show and they're having a blast. And like, and then we get nothing but positive feedback because we put on a full production show. Like it's nothing like at all on the strip, but it's amazing. Like the feedback.
I think what you're doing is retail marketing, where you're bumping into people on the street and engaging and with them. They get excited. Now, do you think that the reason that you came up with the word trash and nothing else is because you have a limited vocabulary?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I mean,
it's public school education from the Bay Area. All right, I have a shirt that literally says public education. I wear it all the time. So like, my vocab is very limited. I'll tell you one thing. That's one of the reasons why like I did not really enjoy bringing my wife to shows, because she's actually a English teacher. And so like when I got off stage one time and I thought I really like killed it, like I really thought I murdered that room, and comics were high-fiving me and I was like all up on my high horse. She came up to me, she handed me a piece of paper, and it was all the errors that I did throughout my set.
Yeah. You know what you have an opportunity to do now, if you think about it, you could have, because of the limited vocabulary you have, and she's an English teacher, you could have homeschooling now.
Yeah, I'm trying to homeschool my children, and that's not going
no,
well.
No, no, no. I should have your wife homeschool you, is what I'm getting at.
Oh, no. We tried that, too. It got
it
real
didn't work. Okay. Krasner, what's your excuse?
I have a much better vocabulary than Sean.
That's valid.
I would have said rubbish.
You know what? He's right. A two-syllable word is definitely much more sophisticated.
Sean only messes with one-syllable words. Trash, sup, crab.
Life is too stressful and too short to really focus on those really long, engaged words. You know, like, I got to keep it going. That's all you got to do.
So I'm Krasner. I'm going to call you Krasner now. That way we can establish a semi-rapport. What's your background in comedy?
I started in Long Island, New York, like most Jews do. And then I was about 3 years in and I moved to Vegas and basically started over and worked my way up, still currently trying to climb the ladder here. But I've been in Vegas for about 17 years.
It's a long ladder.
It's a very long ladder. And then when you keep getting pushed off of it, you got to climb back up. It's even worse.
Let your bones heal and your muscles get, get back into shape and do it again. But that's great that you're still punching. It's wrestling, so you're not, but you're still throwing. How about that?
Metaphorically, I'm punching. What's cool about our show is, like, everyone, we're up to number 6 now. So obviously we started at 1, because numeral chronological.
And let's mention again, Krasner, I'm going to interrupt you just to mention it again. It's May 24th.
May 24th, 9:30, Wise Guys Arts District.
There you go. You notice how you said arts and Sean said art district, which, again, he needs that home schooling. It's arts district, not art district, Sean. Okay. Oh. Go ahead, Krasner. What happened to his audio? All of a sudden, Krasner's not saying anything.
What's cool about this show is, like, every one we do, we try to outdo the previous one. Like, the first one was semi-normal because it was the first one. We were just kind of seeing what to do. And then on the second one, we had to up our game, and we were actually able to get Rob Van Dam, the wrestler. Mm-hmm. RVD, he came and did a spot, and then somebody came up and interrupted him, and he did the thing, the Van Daminator, where he throws the chair and then he spins and kicks him. So we had like a wrestling moment there, and that's how we ended the show. And then on WrestleMania 3, we had 3 dudes in a triple threat match, all with long hair, and the winner gets to keep their hair, and 2 of them had to shave their head on the spot. Then we had like a 10-man battle royal and stuff like that. And then now this one, we're having an all-female battle royal. And we have a lot of cool matchups because one of the matchups we have is a current couple that's dating. So they're dating and they're about to roast each other. So they're about to break up. And then we have another couple who used to be F buddies. And now they're not, and now they're roasting each other. So we're going to find out some stuff there. And then we have our undefeated champion. This dude has never lost a roast battle, except for the one time to me, which was bullshit because he had the judges on his side. So we're not going to talk about that.
All right.
But other than that, he's undefeated. And hopefully he gets taken out. But we got a stacked lineup for this one. A lot of drama, a lot of intrigue, a lot of females. We have like 13 girls on this show.
What's the attraction that they want when they want to do it? What attracts females versus males? Or have you talked to them and gotten a sense of what appeals to them to get involved in WrestleMania?
Yo, let me tell you, I did the 10-man battle royal between the men. And then we haven't done the women yet. It's coming up. And the girls seem like they're more like ready and ruthless. And yo, let's go. Like talking some smack in the group chat. The guys are all like, man. And it sucks because this is Vegas. And I'm sure it just doesn't happen in Vegas, but it happens in comedy all over. It's a known thing that females usually do get the short end of the stick when it comes to comedy. It's hard for them to get booked. They can't get past the gender barrier. And this show is for everybody. So this one we're calling WrestleMania 6 with chicks. So it's totally, we got the shameless plug right here. We got the t-shirt.
For those who are listening, there he has a t-shirt up with his face on it, and nobody's paying attention. Also, Sean kind of got bored in the middle of your monologue there. I don't know what happened. His face dropped. He was looking at his phone. Is this normal?
Dude, he's a jerk. Relationship? He's a jerk, bro. He'll tell a long-winded story like he just did 5 minutes ago and act like he's Martin Luther King. But I tell him, he's like, that was trash, bro. I don't know why I like him. You're fired. You're fired.
You hear that, Sean? You're fired.
fired.
Oh,
I'm gonna hire my own fraction now and do my own thing. Oh man. But no, this is
it's called faction, not fraction.
Oh my man. I'm bad at math too, bro. So I'm the wrong type of Indian for all of this.
I have to say, between the two of you, Sean, and this is just on this level alone, your audio is better than Krasner's.
Oh, thank you. I honestly, I'm just using my laptop. I didn't even get a chance to.
Well, I think he's using one of those flip top phones. You know, that flip phones that are communicating. That's
either that, or still might be on
the juice.
See what I mean? He just cuts in and out like that. What? Say it again, Krasner.
I said, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
I see. Interesting. Okay. So how do the people explain for our listeners and viewers how people can, I don't know if the word is apply, audition, how do they get into the position of being able to be featured as one of the performers?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. First off,
trash. You're gonna say the one thing. You're gonna say trash, aren't you?
No, not at all. No, I don't know. Okay. This part is actually from the heart. All okay. Right? Because within comedy, it's actually really hard to get stage time, to get opportunities to be on stage. And one of the rules or one of the sayings is that the more that you're on stage, the more that people get to see you, which is obviously that's how you get better, because you get the immediate reaction if your material is working or getting over.
Sure.
So in Vegas is actually a really small comedy scene. I came from the Bay Area. So in Bay Area, you have San Francisco, you have Oakland, you have San Jose, you have three major cities, and you could go to each of those scenes and work on material and get better. Where Vegas, you only have a small little town, and there's not too many independent ran shows. It's all
Krasner. Like, this is sounding like a lecture, Krasner.
It is. It's a diary. You know, it's a diary entry. So yes. Kraz puts on local comics and gives them opportunities, so that way other bookers don't have to waste their time to get them on their show and try them out. They can actually come to our show, see how well they do, how they interact with the crowd, and then they could get a lot of bookings outside of the show. So Kraz gives opportunities. Now, if you're asking how can other participants be involved, you got to get involved within the comedy scene, because you gotta help build the community. So the way you build is, you come, you support the show, you purchase a ticket, you buy some food, you eat some drink, you get some drinks, and then you support the comics, because these are like the beginning, like comics are ready to go and start working these clubs and hitting the road. Like we hit the road, we go and do different states all the time. So like to get to that level is there's a whole process, and it all starts with shows like this where you get a chance to actually showcase your work that you've been working so hard at a bar that no one pays attention to you. So yeah, that's how
that makes sense.
That build the scene.
Krasner, do you think you'll end up doing this on a monthly versus bi-monthly basis at some point?
I would love to, but so much work and presentation goes into this that I just don't think a month is enough time, because I like to give the roasters at least a month and a half to write jokes and be fully prepared so they don't get called trash by Sean. Like, I want everybody, like, I need a month and a half to tie up all the loose ends and do this and work on creative. So, I mean, if there was a way we could do it once every month, I would love to. But, like, right now, I'm not trying to bite off more than I can chew. I like to... Plus, with every other month, you get like an anticipation. You get like a little bit of a buildup. So it's like, well, when's the next one? I can't wait. But if it's every month, I don't want it to get watered down and stuff like that. The only thing it will hurt is people's opportunities, because we've done five of these shows so far. And on each show, somebody has been booked at another comedy club because of the other, because somebody else went and saw them put on a good performance. So we're out here just giving people stage time. And if they make the best of it, they earn more stage time that gets them like paid work at another club that they normally wouldn't have got had me and Sean not do it. So we're basically like Santa Claus. We're giving out gifts and we're giving out all these things. Mm-hmm. We're the two greatest comics in Vegas.
What? When did this happen?
About 3 minutes ago when I went on this rant.
Oh, okay, great. Oh, at least you did a rant as opposed to a lecture that Sean did, but okay. So here's what I like about the show too. You mentioned that I guess the performers, I'll call them performers, it's not a situation where you're ad-libbing. You have the time to prepare material and you actually write material for it. And then there, you also mentioned your production elements too. So it's a produced show with performers who are actually scripting themselves, writing it, so they can perform to the level that they aspire to. So that's a whole different approach than the typical kind of roasting that you normally see.
And that's why I get so upset. You have a month and a half to prepare, and then if you tank it on stage, I'm calling you trash. Because there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Like this industry is tough. And roasting is probably one of the toughest craft in comedy, because you have your improv, you have your stand-up comedy, you have your roasting. There's like, and then you have everything else. But roasting is really like a hard thing to nail. And like that's why I love it. I grew up just watching comics that speak truthfully on stage, and like makes people feel uncomfortable. They say that you're supposed to offend half the audience, and then the other half is supposed to like you. So you always like try to get this balance, right? Where like what's the like the edge of the envelope for each of those shows that you do? So it's like, so basically doing these type of shows, you get that full element throughout the whole show. And if you bring it, like it's amazing. And to see people laugh at these type of like jokes and this style of comedy, like it's nice. Like it's decompressing because people like seeing messed up stuff all the time. I mean, people love drama, and like people love, you know, you go on your phone and most of the, you know, reels that you see on social media is always like someone falling or laughing at it. So it's like, so it's being a community in a packed small theater, like in the comedy club, and we're all laughing. The energy is amazing in there. Like it feels good. Like definitely, like if you get a chance, if you're free, come out to the show. Like
I will. Sean, have you noticed, Krasner, that Sean has improved so much that simply he's gone from using one word to these lectures? These little mini lectures go on forever.
I think his wife came home and she's using cue cards right now.
He's talking my ear right now.
You got the Kamala Harris earrings going on.
Wait, what was that?
Now, how do you guys balance it all? I know it's bi-monthly, so you have obviously time for the two of you to travel and perform on the road as well as in Las Vegas. But are you able, because maybe that's the more important thing, to keep it bi-monthly so you're able to do your other stuff?
To be honest with you, Krasner.
No, don't be honest with me, Sean. Be dishonest.
Yeah. I got to be honest. I'm an honest man.
All right, honest man. He's a judge. Go ahead.
So, we do road gigs. But we do a lot of local shows here in town as well, too. Like, all the major comedy clubs here, we're performing at. So, like, Wise Guys at the Arts District. And then Town Square location as well, too. And then there's LA Comedy Club at the Stratosphere. Jimmy Kimmel's at the Link. Bonkers, like there's comedy clubs up and down that we frequently work at, even Planet Hollywood, the V Theater, right. So we're over there as well too. And then going on the road, like it's been great. Like I would say the past couple of years for me personally, comedy really popped, and Krasner actually was one of the ones that really put me on within the Vegas comedy scene. When I moved here, I didn't have too many connections, and then he's the one that gave me tons of opportunity. That's why I'm loyal to the soil with this man. You know what I'm saying? So like, so that's why like we're a great team. We get to hit the road. I mean, we did Mississippi together and we got yelled at because one, I did a Jesus joke and I'm brown, so they didn't like that. And then we just had all these old white people just get up and leave. Like it was pretty funny. And then after the show, someone yelled at us saying that we didn't understand Mississippi because there's like, I guess there's a whole like thought process over there. And they're like, we cross the boundaries of their thought process. And so
that's what comedy's supposed to do. Krasner, yeah. I'm going to let you have the last word because we have about a minute left.
Go ahead. Yeah, go for it. But yeah, go for it.
Damn, Sean's always chewing up the scenery.
He sure is.
If I'm going to have to do a closing argument, I would say basically this show is, I'm not just being biased, this show is perfect because we live in a world what are we, 2025 now, where no one's allowed to say anything. All the words that we used to be able to say back in the day that were totally normal, everything's changed and manipulated. This is like the one show where you can go inside this building and hear the most deranged, offensive, brutal stuff to each other. And you're friends. You hug it out after. Nobody fights. The crowd laughs. So it's basically like everybody loves watching a fat kid fall, a baby get hurt, or doing something like that. So this is like our version of it. Like, you're Jewish. You know, the matzo ball soup is like chicken soup with a soul. That's like what our show is. Like, you can't do that. You don't live your life going around calling people negative things and mean things. But like, this show allows that safe place where you could be the bad guy wrestler you've always wanted to. You could be the jerk of a human being. And for an hour and a half, you're that. And then when the show's over, you're back to normal and we're all outside not smoking weed, you know?
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guests have been Mike Krasner, host of WrestleMania 6, May 24th at Wise Guys Arts District.
9:30,
along with his co-producer, Sean Reddy. For ticket information, go to wiseguyscomedy.com. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram. For everything about Sean, you can find Sean at seanreddy.com. And Mike, you can follow him on Instagram, X, and YouTube. And Mike and Sean, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Hey,